Blog Talk Radio.
The beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I want to greet the listening audience, our distinguished panel. In the greeting words of peace and paradise, we say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome to this week's edition of Conscious Black Nation. Here at Conscious Black Nation, what we do is we address issues that are vital to us as a people so that we can survive this time as well as thrive in this time. Tonight's subject: put your money where your mouth is. We're going to get right into that. However, before we do that, I would like for my distinguished panel to introduce themselves. I'm going to start with you, Brother Mikhail, front and center. Brother, introduce yourself.
Brother Mikhail, Muhammad, my trader,
by the profession. I've been in the nation for 22 years, so just trying to look to actually apply that teaching right there.
Well, praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. We also have with us Brother Chance. Is it Hal or Hall?
Brother Chance Hall.
Brother Chance Hall, yes, sir. Introduce yourself, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Brother Chance Hall.
Assalamu alaikum.
I've been in the nation for about 25 years or so, and I've been very, very, you know, passionate and trying to do something to move towards economics for the last, ever since I've been in the nation. I come out of Washington, D.C. I registered in Washington, D.C., and right now I'm still trying to strive and working and trying to unite with my people.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. And last, but certainly not least, we have with us our brother, Brother Rick Aileen Muhammad, front and center. Sir, introduce yourself.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. We are in the holy month of Ramadan. My name is Brother Rick Aileen Muhammad. I've been in the Nation of Islam since 1990. Currently, I'm a business consultant in the areas of real estate development, trade and commerce. And in my tenure, I registered number 3 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I served in duty at some other mosques throughout the Nation of Islam, and I'm just a strong proponent of, when we say do for self, it means economics within our own nation.
Yes, sir. All praises be to Allah. Well, again, I'm honored to have all three of you present here on the show so that we can get into this again, vital subject. And just to kind of preface it a little bit, the thing is that as I was talking with two of the brothers earlier, the fact is that we've had the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for quite some time, okay? We've had also other individuals who have come to us, and honestly, if you really look into things and people can do the research for themselves, any of the programs that I've seen or individuals introduced, if you go back and check them out, at the root of them is the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. People may have taken it and tweaked it a little bit. However, that remains as the base from my research. Now, the thing is, though, is that we've had this, and there are so many of us who, you know, we say we're conscious. We say we're followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It just seems that there's a problem with complete, you know, 100% implementation of this process, you know, the unity that we need. And so anyone that knows me and they know the show, I don't waste time, want to get right into the subject. However, I want to preface it with some information coming first from the Bible and then from Quran, also from Message to the Black Man. But first, we want to start in Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who calls his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And the likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants..." Excuse me, does somebody have a radio or something on? Because I'm hearing getting some kind of feedback. Okay, thank you. Again, it says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is mine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and being at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talents from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Surely Allah speaks the truth. And then from the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, Surah or chapter 57, ayah or verse 10, it reads, and what reason have you that you spend not in Allah's way? And Allah is the inheritance of the heavens and the earth. Those of you who spent before the victory and fought are not on a level with others. They are greater in rank than those who spent and fought after it. And Allah has promised good to all, and Allah is aware of what you do. And very quickly now I'm going to read from book Message to the Black Man. It's in the chapter entitled Program and Position, page 174. It reads, know thyself and be yourself. Islam makes a true brother to brother. If this be true, how can a believer, a Muslim, be a true brother to another believer and boycott his brother and support the enemy? The believers in truth, Islam must stop looking up to the white race for justice and take the following steps to correct this problem. Acknowledge and recognize that you are a member of the Creator's nation and act accordingly. This action in the name of Allah requires you as a Muslim to set an example for the lost found, your brothers in the wilderness in North America. This requires action and deeds, not words and lip service. The following blueprint shows the way. 1. Recognize the necessity for unity in group operation activities. 2. Pool your resources physically as well as financially. 3. Stop one-time criticisms of everything that is black-owned and black-operated. 4. Keep in mind, jealousy destroys from within. 5. Observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. And later in the broadcast, we're going to delve more deeply into those 5 points. However, my first question, and I'm going to direct the first question to you, Brother Chance, is why do we as Muslims and progressive blacks refuse to practice what we preach?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I think that for the most part, a lot of us that come into the nation believe that we are practicing what we preach, you know, and that by doing the program, you know, such as, you know, going out, coming out to the mosque and so maybe going out for a final call sale or things of that nature, we believe that we are doing that we believe we're going towards economic development and progress. And in some aspects, we are. You know, I believe that when I was out there selling the final call and pushing the whole program like that, I believe that's what I was. I believe I was going to a particular place with that. That wasn't going to be the same thing I would be doing, say, you know, in another 2 years or maybe a year from now. In a year from now, I would be. I'm a soldier. You know what I mean? I'm out here in the field doing what a soldier needs to do to develop character, to be able to do what it needs to be done, which is more effective to the community than perhaps, you know, being in the community selling the final call or going on a call out, things of that nature. Just to tell you from my point of view as a young FOI coming up to now, my desire has always been to be able to be righteous and to be able to be someone who could deliver, you know, that economic freedom that we need in our community in a way that was actually observing the ways of the white man and using their technique that we may be able to prosper. So I think that in our minds that when we come into the nation, we believe that's what we're going towards. However, it seems like that, you know, we get into that rotation of doing that, and we stay in that rotation, you know what I mean? Or there are programs that are developed, but we still stay in that rotation and never find ourselves stepping out, you know what I mean, into the realm of being able to provide for ourselves with the program and provide and help and show our people how they can provide for themselves. Am I making myself clear on it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're ready.
Yeah. So I think, just to say this, I think that we do believe that. I just think that we get into a situation where, you know, we start to take risk management. We see our people going down in the depths of hell. So we start to do things that we feel we need to do right now so we can get as many people as we can so that we can save them. You know what I mean? But in reality, once we get them, we don't have nothing for them really to do to get bigger and better into an economic situation that they need to be able to, you know, have the freedom that we're talking about.
Yes, sir. Right. And same question. I want to thank you for your answer, Brother Chance, too. Same question to you, Brother Rick.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm just gonna add on to what Brother Chan said. He had a real beautiful delivery.
Yes, sir.
What I see is we talk about do for self. I think that means different things to different people. And I think the words we should start using is economic development and entrepreneurship, and go from a concept of an abstract thought on paper to something that's physical and concrete that people can see. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says a message to black men, even if we just address the needs of our people right now, which is food, clothing, shelter, transportation, and communication, and if you look at the Fortune 500 list, the top 100 companies deal with those things right there. Now, Minister Farrakhan said in a lecture once in his early days in the nation during the first resurrection, when he recalled bringing in a lot of our black professionals to Chicago. But that's not the problem. It's just that people have to buy into the mindset of the way that we are doing and how it's going to help black people. And I think the problem comes sometimes is, like Brother Chan said, we do the self-program within ourselves. But what about for the 60 other million black people? And I think we're inside of this box right now. And we got examples in front of us right now when we look at our other brothers and sisters, the Koreans, the Indians from India that come to our communities. And the question has to be asked is, like, they're taking the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and applying it as soon as they get off the boat. And we've been here with these teachings for 83 years, and we're having progress. For the exception of the glimpse of heaven that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in his last address when he showed what we could do, we're supposed to be able to take that model and we should be a Fortune 500 company ourselves, just within our own nation. And right now, we got to go back to the basics almost. You know, we got a skeleton. Now we got to put some flesh and meat on the skeleton to be able to serve our need. And the last thing I'll say, Brother Kareem and Brother Chance and Brother Mikhail, is this. When we say Nation of Islam, you know what I think? I think of how the Jews went over into Palestine and took it. And it's right in Africa, right in our face. When I think Nation of Islam, I think of how Joseph Smith and Brigham Young was in New York and was dissatisfied. They left and went to the Rocky Mountain region. And at birth, they had about 7-8 states. And today, they had to send a cavalry out there and just gave them one. And they run Utah. I've been to Utah several times. So now, those of us in the Nation of Islam that's in the upper echelon and want to really help, we got the 9 ministries. And the minister already gave us the instructions a couple saviors there ago. And he pretty much directed what state we should look at. Because until we get a land base, it's going to be very difficult to do some of the things we can do. Now, the last thing I'll say is this. But what we can do, and I know everybody on this panel and the people that are listening have traveled the United States, why is it that you go to New York, it's a Chinatown, you go to Chicago, it's a Chinatown, you go to San Francisco, it's a Chinatown. And we've been here longer than the Chinese, and there's no place in America you can point where black people control commerce and entertainment. Not one place you can point to. We've had the Wall Street in Tulsa that was bombed, and we've had the place in Durham, North Carolina, which is no longer us. But at some point, we got to start maybe looking at those models.
Well,
and I think that's my point.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Rick. And Brother Mikhail, same question to you, sir.
Yes, sir. It's all beautiful answers. I'm going to come at it a little different. I'm going to read something from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and then put it into context very briefly. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, but what does this do to many of the rest of the people? It causes them to become jealous and envious of that one whom God confers more of his divine knowledge upon than he does the rest. This is what is happening right at this very hour. The Holy Quran plainly teaches us that every one of us wanted the same thing that he gave the messenger, that is, the knowledge of the book and the wisdom of God and the Quran. It is prophesied that the lost found black man would envy the knowledge that God will bestow upon his servant to teach them the knowledge of that which before they knew not. This is the American so-called Negro. The Bible teaches that they wanted to be shepherds, therefore the sheep went astray. What a jealous and envious people the black people are. And this is why we can be divided so easily against each other. It is because the devil soon see that none wants to follow the other. And you have the same principle of that, what the Honorable Muhammad is talking about when it comes to economic progress or doing for self. It's just setting up a business or a corporation. You have a president, you have a CEO, you have a COO, you have all these different positions we're fighting over. If another brother has a great idea for a business and it go, and we might not submit to that just on the top of being envious and jealous. And that's why, as the brother said, brothers get off the boat and go straight into economic commerce and get right up. And we're sitting here fighting over what? Fighting can't even get started. Or we got all of us got a piece of our own thing, and all of us want to do our own thing, but it takes a support team. Doing for self just does not mean doing for self, you actively doing for self. But if you work for your brother, that's doing for self too. It's bigger than just you getting out there and you doing something, because you can't do it by yourself. You need a team to get up. And every corporation got a team. I have not seen a business yet that is successful, that has global influence, that does not have a massive team, a management team, a senior executive team, lower level teams, but they have a team. We're struggling at that point because none wants to follow the other. And that's why even in our nation, you had that same principle. You had that same problem, which is why the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, within the last 30 years, twice has has had to take away titles from laborers and put student in front of that, because obviously we've had a problem with titles going to the head or submitted to some a person that's in leadership that may be better than you in that case. See, we fight that. We struggle with that. And that's why a group of us in the nation that have the God wisdom, God came and visited us and gave us supreme wisdom, yet we're the less functioning when it comes to economic commerce, and some Arab or some Chinese people can get right off the boat, know nothing about God as a man, and put up a whole bunch of restaurants like that, because they understand that. They understand that part. They understand that unity part. And they're not plagued with envy and jealousy like we are. So when I read that by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a few weeks ago, I saw it. I was like, man, it applies across the board. So even though what we have is absolutely correct, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about the economic blueprint is absolutely correct. Yeah, it's almost 100 years. We're struggling. It's not because of the teachings. It's just because we're envious and jealous of each other that we can't even submit to someone who may have better expertise, better knowledge, a better college degree, or whatever in that respective field. It's about we want our own part, and that has been the case for the last 80 years, and it's not going to change until the ones that profess it, we who profess that we know that this is right and exact, actually change that behavior. So I think that is one of the reasons why. I mean, I can quote the Bible, Quran, Message of Black Men all day, and I'm pretty sure a lot of us in the nation can. It still doesn't change the fact that we're lagging behind economically, and here's why. It's not our teachings. It's that envy and jealousy factor, and we're going to have to learn how to submit, find the ones who have the good ideas or the structure in place, team up like a team, put our resources behind that move, and not be envious and jealous of someone simply because they are in position to, or they may be a dynamic speaker or whatnot, and they're the face of the company because they can speak the language better. Like, these little things, these little rudimentary things that stop us, it's going to kill us if we don't get over that. And that's my point.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
That's it. I mean, like I said, all of the answers that the three of you gave, right on point, and if you notice, again, and I would say this, that just what you all did, each one of you built on top of the other, whether you intended to or not, and that's what we have to do. It is that envy. It is that jealousy. It is that lack of humility, if you will, that when I see my brother or my sister expressing their gifts, instead of me having the mind to understand, and the way I get that mind is by practical application of the rudimentary teachings. As I believe it was Brother Rick that said, yo, square one, we got to go back to just the basics. And the basics are, how do we treat one another? How do we respond to one another?
Yes, sir.
And when we can respond to one another correctly, when we can understand that, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated years ago that the best title we can give him is brother, knowing where he is in his development, he says the best title you can give him is brother, that speaks of a humility. That means that, for example, just in line with what you all just said, because I want to move forward in this because of our time constraints, but the thing is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Message to the Black Man also says, he says that if there, and I'm paraphrasing now because he uses the example of a grocery store. And a grocery store, of course, because we all got to eat, that's something we can relate to. But if you have 6 or 8 Muslims who have knowledge, just knowledge period, whatever field is in you, if we get together, then that means that if you are the master of the mathematical end of it, and say I'm the master of ordering the product, and then another brother or sister is a master at public relations, then in whatever area the other individual is superior in, it's up to the rest of us in a unified effort to submit to that individual. to get it done. In other words, you know, we all got ideas, but which idea is the most viable at that time to produce the immediate result, meeting the needs of the people and our needs at that time? You know, and so, I mean, that's just my little take on it.
Right.
Oh, thank you, brother. All praise is all due to Allah. Now, this time, I'm gonna start with you, Brother Mikael. And the second question is this. Now, with all the abandoned and vacant property, closed schools, empty apartment complexes, okay, and with us, now I'm talking to us now, but, and this is directed at all of us, however, more specifically, again, because we say we got the supreme wisdom. It's directed at us as members of the Nation of Islam. With all these things going on and us having this information, again, why is there so many homeless in our community? I mean, if there's plenty of property out there, and it's a, and I do construction myself, so I know there's plenty of individuals throughout the nation who, quote-unquote, do construction. So why aren't we getting together, getting this property, which is available for a little or nothing? I saw a post on Facebook a few days ago where it talked about how the Chinese are buying up the property in Detroit. But that's not just going on in Detroit. Where I am is here in St. Louis. There's a developer. A few people know about it. He's out of Texas. He's been quietly buying up all the properties in the city. While we running around, I'm just going to say it, while we running around having bake sales. Okay?
yes,
I ain't Cadillac.
Peace, brother.
You understand
Peace,
what
brother.
I'm saying?
Make it plain like Matthew said,
brother. We running around, I mean, and it's property all around, I'm going to just say it, it's property all around the mosque that's available. But
Peace,
nobody
brother.
is moving as the messenger gave us instruction to. You missed it. You said land without a land base. What are we doing? You missed it. Everybody has their own community. You got a Chinatown in every major city. Why don't we, and it goes back to this question, why don't we as believers and followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Lewis Park, I don't know you're going to talk about the other camps, why don't we have at least one Muslim community in one of these cities where the believers all live in the same community? And I mean, the benefits of that is just astronomical. But I'm sorry, I got to run in my mouth. Brother Mikael, again, the question is, with all the abandoned and vacant properties, closed schools, and empty apartment complexes, why are there so many homeless in our community?
Well, goes back to, you know, that's a great question. It goes back to the root of what I was saying earlier. I mean, envy and jealousy. And also, the Prophet Muhammad said, I believe in Theology of Time, he said, unity is the power. That's where you get your power from. I mean, it sounds cliche. We all hear unity, but that's what it is. Unity is the power. The Supreme Being, he got a team. He got 11 other people right under him. He got the Christ with him. He got 24 Chinese. He got a team of angels. He has a team, an executive team. And he got a low-level team. And whatever he say do, they make sure it happens. Same thing here. Unity is the power. The Chinese that are buying up $300 million worth of property in Detroit ain't doing it by themselves. They're doing it as an investment. They're doing it as a team. I just read some Brooklyn boroughs were being bought up by Jewish investors out of Israel, and they're just doing it for a profit. But it was a team, a hedge fund, a team. Same thing here. Like, what makes this self-defeating really is that I can understand black people in general, but what's going to be hard to keep perpetuating is Muslims also participating in behavior we know better than. I mean, we're going to get held responsible for that because we have such a powerful teaching that says do that, and everybody else is doing that. You ain't going to reinvent the wheel. Just unify, pull. But then it goes back to that. If all five of us were pulling together to go buy these properties, who's going to be the president? Who's going to be the CEO? I mean, it's going to bound to come up. It just how Negroes do. And the evidence of that is just look at our communities. We have those problems, and that's why. Because property in Detroit, I know the minister is investing in Detroit, but I was reading, it's like I saw houses going for $100 that could be restored and fixed up. If we just unify and did it, it's simple. It really is simple. It's not hard. It's that what's in us that prevents us from unifying with the other. I mean, Islam says it a whole bunch. You want for your brother what you want for yourself. That's the truest Muslim. Well, really, we must don't want for our brother what we want for ourselves, because this is really easy. But it's envy and jealousy, and unfortunately, we're plagued with that. And unfortunately, it's going to take a butt-whooping from the God. I don't think necessarily teaching is going to do the trick. Just a divine stitching cord, like my grandmother used to use, one of them switches off the tree. God going to have to take that, because it's simple. And it's simple. Really, it is. And that's just boiled down to it. That is why we can't do what the Chinese are doing in Detroit, just buying up property. When we should be able to do that, and like brother said, our the way we think we do, our alternative is to do fish fry or something to get money. That's already thinking small. That's already thinking very small. And our teachings condemn that type of thinking. You come into the nation, first thing you learn about is how much the earth weighs, how big is the earth, the diameter of the earth, how much land and water there is. And if you keep on progressing past that, and you get to the problem book, you're learning about the size of the planet. It's like you're taught to think global. You're taught to think universally, but somehow we get disconnected from that and don't even think that it's even possible to go buy up some affordable housing, restore it as it's just the Muslims doing this, restore that community and then make the make it a Muslim community so we flourish. In Phoenix, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted the Jewel of Islam, and part of the Jewel of Islam was he wanted an area where it was just houses for the Muslims, like a Muslim community. Man, I've known that since I've been in Phoenix all my life. Like, I love to see that, man. And it's real easy to do if we can just unify amongst us and then not be so negative or so arrogant that we have supreme knowledge and not seek help from our brothers and sisters that are not in the nation, that may know more than us, but because we know
Come
God,
on,
you know, that has nothing to do with it. They have knowledge. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, in theology of time, he said that over and over, get in, come in and work with us. I mean, we got the overall knowledge. We can filter it in. But if your expertise is that and we don't have it, well, then let's submit to that and work together. But we have that problem of, what's the word I'm looking for when, you know, like it's, you know, we have a snobby attitude sometimes when it comes to these teachings, and that's not how we should be. We should be serving. So that's our problem, man. And I'm a Muslim for life. I love the nation. I do. And everything starts with self. So, I mean, I'm trying right now. I have a team of traders right now that we're doing exactly what the brother said economic program 6 to 8, pulling their resources together and doing it. We have and some of that in that group are not Muslims. They're I mean, they're Muslim by nature, but they're not technically registered. But we all working together to make it happen. At some point, somebody got to do it. And the way our people are, it's going to take people to do. We got to see you do it first before I might submit to what you're saying. You know, this is how we are. We're like Missouri, the Show Me State. I have to see. You know what I mean? I got to see you. You don't look the part. I got to see it. Then if I can see it, then okay, then that may encourage us. So I think really that's the problem with us in particular. And I'm trying to do my part, man, but we got to be able to admit that to each other, got to be able to admit that to self, be not afraid to criticize and not in the wrong light, because you can only get better when you critique out of the right spirit. We got to be able to admit that stuff, because there's no way in hell Chinese people in China as a country buying up properties in our domain. They should not even be able to do that. We should have took that already. It's so cheap. But it's just because we're not unified. And we the most disciplined, the most organized of our group. That is the perspective of the Nation of Islam. History, there's no way in hell where we should be lagging behind. I can understand everybody else, but not us. Not us when it comes to those things. And there's plenty of brothers and sisters with knowledge of real estate in the Nation of Islam that can do that easily. So it goes back to, like I said, and that's my point, fam.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, sir, very, very much.
Praise
same you, question to you, Brother Chance. Same question.
Okay, I'm going to, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. But I believe it's so much to be said about, and this is what I can see the passion in all of us right here, you know, and what we want to do and what we're doing, you know. But let me try to, because I want to be able to be simple with it, but yet, you know, get it across. Anyway, it's interesting that we talk about the Chinese. It's interesting that we're talking about, you know, uniting and things of that nature, and envy and jealousy and things of that nature, because that is a lot of our problems. Let me give you a little story, just to be a little small story. When I was first in the Nation of Islam back in D.C., we had a squad called the College Squad, you know, and these were made up of mostly of them was college brothers. And we structured ourselves, you know what I'm saying? I was a lieutenant, and I had four different squad leaders, and my squad leaders had at least four to five different men in their squad, okay? This is the way the mosque was structured, in fact. Because you had lieutenants who had the same, had men who had, you know, I was under Brother Captain William, Brother Sharif, and we had it structured in our squad, right, in our unit. And my particular squad in particular, we moved out with economics, you know what I mean? My goal was, this is my goal still, but my goal was to be able to get those squad leaders at least involved in real estate where they would own a building and they would be able to lease that building or rent that building out to the community. Each squad leader should be able to have their own property, and we would be able to generate income and also pool our money so that we can help that next brother. You know what I mean? That next brother to go get his property. You know what I mean?
Come
that
on.
Next brother to come up to that level of maybe a squad leader or a lieutenant, he has a property that he can actually earn with, and he can actually be able to pay charity with, and he can actually be able to do a lot of things with, and even pool money together. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying to say that this, we gotta be able to look at it like that, okay? I'm going to be able to do this for these many people so we can do this for these many people, you know what I mean? That is called an economic system, you know what I mean? That is called, they call it, there's gifting out there, there's all kinds of structures that you got out there, Matrix X and all that other stuff, that they do that kind of stuff. But we need to really concentrate on that. You know what I mean? Once we concentrate on just being able to help that one brother so he can help the next brother on the next to him, then we won't have no envy and jealousy because everybody will be able to have what they need to survive. You know? So I'm saying that to say, you know, we have to be able to see economics, you know what I mean, today and then tomorrow and then the next day. We have to be able to see the three economic plan as a three economic plan that will be producing something in 3 years. So if it's going to produce something in 3 years, that means something has to be done in 6 months. Something has to be done in 12 months. You see what I'm saying? And so on and so forth. So a structure like that would negate a lot of it, because it would negate a whole lot of envy and jealousy. It would show us the people that we have around us as Muslims. I'm not a real active brother in the mosque, but personally, we don't need nothing else in the mosque. We got every kind of believer. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So everything that we thinking about in terms of economics, we have every bit of that. You know what I mean? It's right in the niche, really, as well. We have a lot of it there. So just to be brief, I'm going to stop. You know how we do it. But anyway, I'm saying this, that, you know, from your spot, brother, from where you are, brothers out there, I mean, from where you are, whatever you're investing in, I would love to know, because guess what? I want to be a part of that investment so that, you know, I can show you my commitment to this economic thing, you know what I mean? If I'm going to be able to really do this economic thing, I have to be invested in it. You see what I'm saying? That's my whole problem with the three economic plan. It has to stop being a charity, you know what I mean? We have to learn how to invest in it and be able to say, okay, 3 years down the road, not only are we going to have land and farming, but the people are going to be able to benefit because they pay X, Y, Z amount of money, so they invest it. So they should be able to reap some equity out of this. You know what I mean? Anyway, Back to the point. You know, basically, we need to structure ourselves. You know what I mean? We need to be able to take this technology and move together and work with each other, doing the things that we need to do right where we are. I can send money to wherever you're at to invest, and I'm not afraid to do it. I've done it before, right over the internet. I've sent brothers $200, $300, $400 just to invest in the situation. You know what I mean? So that's what we got to be willing to do. We got to be willing to trust. We got to be willing to make moves, and we got to do it. You know, and we only have ourselves. You know, we're running out of time. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically it, brothers. I'm sorry.
All praise
to Dutolah. Yes, sir.
Right on the point. And, Brother Rick, I'm going to come to you. However, we do have someone with their hands up, so I'm going to take a question first, and then I'm going to get to you, Brother Rick, one moment.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir. Okay, area code 612. Your mic is live. Area code 612.
Well, I'm Sister Diatoma Clarity. How are you, Brother Kareem?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah. Y'all didn't recognize the number. All right. All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Just calling in, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Like, loving the conversation. Kind of half tired here, long day for me, but I'm going to be brief. But, you know, I was recently saying on the internet today, we was talking, and we was in a Network in the Nation group, and we've been talking lately about unifying, coming together, trying to come together as a collective manner. But the biggest problem, and I've been working with business, black businesses now since 2007, about almost seven years I've been working with black businesses. And the biggest thing I found with black businesses, or the problem with black businesses, is our procrastination. You know, we start off the race, and the race that we start off fast, we start off enthusiastic, we start off ready to do this and ready to do that, and I come together and I give them business plans and I give them ways for them to unify, ways for them to seek the money, ways for them everything that they need to be able to put things forth so the business can get up and off the ground. But the biggest problem with us is that we procrastinate. You know, God has given us a way out. He's been giving us a way out since 1913, okay? Here it is, 83 years, some odd years later. You know, I'm steady saying this is like it's becoming a broken record now. Here we are 83 years later, and we still haven't moved out on the economic blueprint that we were given. I had just recently posted on Facebook about how, like, if you have a blueprint of a home and the architect has built this beautiful plan, he's designed it, we got the master architect at our door. He's designed this plan, he's put it all together, it's all on a piece of paper, it's been there now for 83 years. And here it is, we as black people in America still are the poor, not, sorry, let's go outside of America, we're going to take this internationally. We, the black people internationally, are the poorest, worst conditioned people in the world, but yet we are the most intelligent. They have four sisters, young, beautiful queens over in Africa that just recently made a generator off that runs off of urine, biofuel, urine. But yet all the ideas that everybody has gotten rich off our ideas, our elevator, our computers, our internet, our combustible engines, all this, all that, everything that we have built, we have given to this world, they stole. Even Albert Einstein stole it from us, E=MC². That was us. That was Egyptian knowledge. Even, what's his name, the one that stole the light bulb, that was from us. All these inventors, all these so-called inventors, the cotton gin, everything came from the black men and women of America and the black men and women all across the world. But yet we are the poorest in the conditions, and not just locally, but nationwide. So it's not just we need to unify, because we can unify all day long, but it's so many chiefs and not enough Indians that don't nobody want to sit down and listen and come as a collective manner. I just used to say this as well, too. I said, let's talk about these ABC Corporation. ABC Corporation decides it want to buy XYZ Corporation. Now, ABC Corporation want to buy XYZ. XYZ might have been a competitor against ABC, but they understood that they're about to go out of business. XYZ Corporation figured out they're about to go out of business. So they said, you know what? Because I want me and my family to still eat, I'm going to go ahead and go with ABC Corporation, and I'm going to go ahead and merge with this particular corporation, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make money with this corporation. Even though I might not like them, I'm going to sit down at this table, and I'm going to make it work so me and my family can we can still eat. So now we're going to go ahead and collectively come together, and then we're going to take over GHI Corporation. You understand? And now we're going to buy up these little these corporations, these small little bitty businesses. This seems crazy to white man, but he is successful. See, the problem with us is that we do not want to come together and do things in the proper way of growing. We come together, we argue, we say mean things toward each other, we backbite each other, we don't trust one another. We're sitting up there, well, and if we just did it properly and built the foundation and grew from that proper foundation, it was made. What are we waiting for? It was made. I'm not trying to go long-winded. I probably already did enough. But we know what we need to do. The question now is, when are we going to do it? We know what we need to do. When are we going to do it? I'm so tired of black folks talking. Tired. When are we going to do it? But that's all I had to say, Brother Kareem. And assalamu alaikum. I hope I wasn't too long-winded. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. No, ma'am, you weren't too long. All praise due to Allah. And Sister Tana Coleman.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. You have a business that you're involved in, that you have yourself. What is that?
I do. The name of my business is called PA Solutions Personnel Services, and basically what my business is, I've been an executive administrative assistant a little bit over 18 years, but I've also helped people to start business, consult in business, all design work that you need for your business, help you get up and going, grant writing, getting your business to the proper places that it needs to go, marketing, sales, everything you need for your business, my business do. I've recently been working with a lot of brothers and sisters to help them to coordinate their businesses and to get their businesses, like I said, going into the right direction. The problem with us is that we procrastinate. We procrastinate. I don't understand how sick our mind is. So me, as a black woman in America trying to make it, I even dropped my prices for us. Do you know that we complain about helping one another in prices and to get each other so we can have our own? You go to Whitey Man, he ain't finna drop no price for you. He gonna put a set price. He gonna say what he want, how he want it, when he want it, and what time he want it. And either you're gonna get it or you're not. But see, we are so sick that we don't even understand our own condition. We always looking for a way out. We always looking for a hand-me-down from our own. We don't want to pay the same money that we want to pay these other people. We are sick. It is ridiculously just a sickness that we as black people have. But I'm going to keep striving because Allah told me to. This is my duty. Regardless, if my brother and sister don't love me, it's my duty to love them. So I know that one day that we have no choice but to come together. And when that day comes, your sister here, and your sister going to be fighting in this thing. I'm going to be ready to help all these businesses up and grow because I'm ready to take over. What you going to do today, Brian? Try to take over the world. I'm ready. So I'm going to pray. Peace and blessings of Allah. Thank you, brother, for asking.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And just on that point that you just mentioned, that is one thing that, yes, we need to do. One, when we have a brother or sister, one of our own, who has a business, and they have set prices and their prices are not outrageous. Now, let's be realistic. The price is not outrageous. It's either lower than or comparable to what the existing market is. Then I should have no problem forking over that money. Okay? I mean, that's just real. And by the same token, as a business owner, I should also be able to, at times, work with my brother or sister. So this is part of true. That's real unity. Yeah, we can. When you mentioned earlier, you say that unity's not. No, unity is the problem. We think we're coming together in a group somewhere, or meeting together, all of us in the same room. That's unity. No, that's a gathering.
No.
That's just
come
a
on,
gathering.
Teach.
But that's just a gathering. We need the unification comes when what the brothers were talking about earlier. What we mentioned earlier is when we are all humble enough to be able to submit to whoever the superior is in that event at that time for us to move forward. I'm going to move on. This is not my forum to teach. I'm here to host. All praise is due to Allah. So, Brother Rick.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. We're still on question number two, which is again, which our brother Mikael and brother Chance answered so beautifully now, looking for your answer in this again. With all the abandoned and vacant property, closed schools, and empty apartment complexes, why are there so many homeless in our community? I want your perspective on that.
First, I'd like to thank the sister for her response. She had a beautiful response and a question and a concern, and I feel where she's coming from, and I understand. And myself, I've been in business over 25 years, doing a couple of different things as a consultant and a property owner. And Brother Chance and I have talked several times on the phone and have had several excellent conversations. I haven't met the brother yet, but I know Brother Chance's heart where it's at. Now, I'm just going to go and start with some of you remember back in 1993 and 94, you remember a Savior's Day when they gave us the rendition of what the Salaam restaurant was going to look like? I still have that.
'94.
Yes, sir. And on the back of it, I never will forget when the minister read, it says on the back, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "My bank is the hearts of the people."
Of people.
That's deep.
Come on.
I mean, you know, those words are heavy because it's coming from the messenger, and the messenger and his words from the God.
That's,
you know,
right.
So, you know, we got to study. We're supposed to study these words, like our brother Malcolm. You know, we got examples, but we got to start applying the mathematics. We talk it, but the math solves problems, right? You know, you got equations out here. We got solutions. We got algebra. We got polyrhythm, we've got matrix solutions and everything. But see, the problem is the problem that Satan has put us in. Because remember in the Holy Quran, it says when Iblis is arguing with Allah before Allah kicked him out of heaven, he said, "I'm going to come after your righteous in thy straight path, and from the left and from the right and from behind thee." So, I mean, he's putting us on the cross or the cross or the crossroads. And some of us are still hanging on the cross because we're still slaves. You know, And going here, I'm looking here, I'm online. I'm going to read something, and it's going to sound familiar to everybody in this room, inshallah. It says, after learning mathematics, which is Islam, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living, that is luxury, money, good homes, friendships, and all walks of life. Then it says, sit yourself in heaven at once with an exclamation point. That is the great desire of your brother and teachers. Now, when I first came in the nation and I saw that, I was already a salesperson. I was selling T-shirts and hats and stuff. So when I heard do for self, I was like, oh, shit, this guy, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm like, okay, let's get going. I had a lot of energy. You know, I used to do the Black Expo show, been in New York, been to Baltimore, been to D.C. with brothers traveling, and it was Lost Sound Brothers, one of the brothers actually registered. And, but what I found was we was becoming more like the church. And this was in the 90s. The mindset And when Minister Farrakhan said that at Savior's Day in 2011, he said, we have become like the church. A lot of us understood what he meant. Then there was a lot of people saying that took got offense to that. But when we talk about doing business, the science of doing business, which is trade and commerce and, you know, the exchange of goods and services, the mosque operates like the black church. Open Sunday, you get there. Some people get there at 9, then or 8:30, 8 o'clock. By 11, about 12 o'clock, we gone. Then it's closed all day, and then 6 o'clock, right before Monday night class, some people there. Nothing going on Tuesday. All closed all day Tuesday. Okay, Wednesday night meeting. Somebody getting there 90 minutes ahead of time. Soon meeting over it. Closed all day. All day now. Thursday. Closed all day. Friday. Oh, that study group going on. But we got a building there where some type of commerce can take place. And when you go to a Jewish synagogue, even some black churches and white churches, they got a bookstore right there in the church. Right there in the church. And even most churches got a secretary in there working during the day. The pastor in there doing some things. And then the second thing, I served 7 years in the United States Army. And when I ETS, I was a sergeant. So I was in the capacity of training people, training soldiers, squads. So when I joined the Nation of Islam, I'm like, well, shoot, this military, any down for making money? I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be. I went from working from the devil, now I'm working for Allah and his messenger. I was like, oh, yeah. But what happened is, we don't have enough training going on. The one thing about the United States Army and anybody that serves, whenever something's coming down from headquarters in Washington, D.C., it gets down to every unit, every squad. You go, and they explain what's going on, and then you sign off on it, and they put it into your file. You say, yes, I understand. You sign off on it. We don't have any training on business. And we assume that people know what do-for-self means. But that means different things to different people. And another thing I'm going to say is this, is that, and I know the brothers on the panel, Brother McHale, Brother Chance can attest to this. I even think Brother Chance and I have talked about this. The bean pie, the Supreme Navy bean pie, should not only every mother mosque have a store. You know, we should be like Walmart with the bean pie. We should have distribution centers in each region of the country producing 10,000 pies per day. Producing 10,000 pies per day. Right? And we don't. You know, we don't have that. But that's all I want to say on that.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and on these points that have just been made, including right in the panel, that there is a teaching. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, he said that there would come a time that we would be teaching 24 hours a day in shifts. I would imagine the majority of individuals think that means somebody going to be up on the rostrum, you know, going hard. No. It's by us actually living these teachings. Like you said, as far as I can see, the door to the mosque should never close. If this is where the people got to come to get God, because that's literally what they're coming to get, the real God, then it should never close. Well, there should always be, as you said, and I'll use the term commerce, there should always be some type of commerce going on, and commerce does not necessarily mean involving money, but there should always be some activity going on, because I mean, does a lie ever shut down? I don't know. You know, I breathe all the time.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Now,
yes,
what we're going to do now is we're going to get into a breakdown, and we're going to get into a discussion about the 5 points we mentioned earlier. in the program and position, which is part of the economic blueprint. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, he says, the following blueprint shows the way. We're going to start with number one, and I'm going to come to you, Brother Chandler, first. Number one is, it says, recognize the necessity for unity and group operation activities. And so how can we better do that?
Okay, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir. Go ahead, bro.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's so many ways that we can do that. But, you know, to do that, you know, there's so many ways you can do that, but we gotta be willing to do that, like the sister was saying, basically. We gotta be saying, like, when we go to, just let me just make this point right quick before I go into it deeper. When we go to Savior's Day in February, coming up, when we go to Savior's Day, all three of us and more of us that's getting together and doing these kinds of things, we need to get together and say, okay, we're here today and Savior's Day, you met me, you see me. Now we go back, we need to get together on pooling our resources to do whatever it is we do in our city. If that means that, you know, all three of us are going to invest in what sister's doing, you know what I mean, and make sure that she's got the proper support that she needs for,
just a moment,
for saying, you hear me?
Brother, Brother McHale, hold on. I'm sorry. The sound is very distorted, so if there's anyone on the line that has background noise, please mute your phones until Brother Kareem asks for you. Or if you are speaking on speakerphone, please come off a speaker. And if you have your computers on, please mute it because the sound is becoming very distorted. So if you would, gentlemen, thank you so very much.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right here.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. My point is that basically, what's my point? Basically, you know, we could take resources now, today, or when we go to Savior's Day, we can say, okay, we're going to concentrate on sister's ideas that she has for the next 3 months. We're going to give her the support she needs. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make sure that if she needs somebody to make a call, or whatever the case may be, support that from where we are. We got technology to help us with that. You know what I mean? Right now, you know, we're right on down to modern times. So there's nothing that can stop us from doing whatever we need to do for each other right here, in this conversation right here, and whatever endeavor we're doing in whatever city we're doing it in. You know what I mean? And I guarantee you, once that starts to generate and move around, you're going to have more people in that city where we're helping that person come along to help her. You know what I mean? Because people don't help you when you're alone. They help you when they see somebody with you. Okay, well, there's somebody with them. Okay, now I'm going to go with them. So that is recognizing, what is it? It says, that is when we start to recognize the necessity of unity and group operations is when we, the like-minded ones, start doing it. You know what I mean? From wherever we are. We got into a discussion. I'm going to be one more minute. We got into a discussion on the Allah team about, you know, this, how we can use the internet, or if the internet is feasible for us to use. It is. Some person argued that it wasn't. Look, this man on Facebook has made billions of dollars on people just saying a bunch of nothing. You mean to tell me we can't come together on Facebook and all these tools right here to make billions of dollars of our own in our own nation? You know what I mean? So, yeah. Another way we need to recognize. Just look at Facebook, okay? People are afraid of the stock market, this, that, and the other thing. They're afraid of the stock market, this, that, and the other. But look at Facebook. Facebook was $20 a share when it started, right? When it declined, it was $20 a share. I was telling people that are involved in the market. I said, yeah, after December, it's going to go back up to 30. So you should get it as low as if it keeps dropping down to 15, and it goes down to 15. I guarantee you by December. January, it'd be back up to 35. These little spurts in the economy can work to our benefit, you know what I mean, if we would recognize and be united on and get together and talk about these things and rationalize these things, you know what I mean, because we got a big taboo about a whole lot of stuff about the economic
system of America, but we are the biggest participants as African Americans, black people, and especially Muslims. You know what I'm saying? We use every bit of that economic system, and if this economic system fell today, we, the black people in America, would lose first. You know what I mean? Because we're the most dependent on it. Let me say one more thing, and that is
right
that
here.
Black people, I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to leave it at this is the recognizing of unity. Black people make over $1 trillion in economic income a year. Okay, we have businesses in our community that generate $150 billion a year. Ain't something wrong with that picture. You know, ain't something wrong with that picture. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Thank you, all.
Thank you very, very much. And I want to remind everyone that is in our listening audience that if you have a question or comment and you called in, you're on the phone, press 1 on your dial pad. Anybody that's in the chat room, you can ask your questions for you.
Okay, Brother Kareem,
yes,
can we
ma'am,
just take
I'll
a moment
that.
To find out where that noise is coming from?
Yes.
I want everyone to be able to hear, and I don't know if you can hear it, but there's a lot of, like, maybe rustling, moving around. So,
yes, ma'am.
Okay, they look like that may have resolved the issue. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. All right. And now, Brother Mikhail.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Same question as you, brother. How can we, point number one of the blueprint, how can we begin to better recognize the necessity for unity and group operation?
I mean, we do already know it. It's about taking it outside the tunnel vision that we have and applying it to business and commerce. In the mosque, we do this every day. In the mosque, we recognize the necessity for group operations. The groups of brothers holding posts on the outside, brothers on the security on the inside, check posts, the sisters are on the check posts, Vanguard, they do their part. Brothers got the front roster. We do this day in and day out. We do this at Savior's Day. Group operation. And we do it seamlessly, and that's what gives us the perspective of, like, the Muslims are highly disciplined and organized, but we have them blinders, tunnel vision, because we don't apply that to a business. I mean, we got to take that out of the mosque and apply it to trade and commerce. Brother said something about the mosque having distribution for bean pies. That's very simple. What does it take to get that done? And how many people do you need, and where do you need them at? The same way we scope a mosque or an event or Savior's Day, the way we handle that is the exact same way we handle anything else. Part of being in business is to, a successful business is either solving a problem or providing a need. I mean, we can do that too. Figure that out and then take what we already know subconsciously that we do seamlessly, that we have no one is telling us to do that when we're securing mosque or Savior's Day or the atonement, or if the leader is coming in speaking, you ain't got to tell everybody to have it locked down. It's already locked down, and we all work together in unison to make sure it's locked down. That's why we have the reputation that we have when it comes to security, and that's why people try to secure or employ Muslims to secure them doing what they do because of how we work together already. But somehow, we as a community forget that when it applies to business, food, restaurant, food, clothing, shelter. The things that are easy that immigrants come and do, we don't do that. We just forget that. But when we're in our own circle, when there's a structure together, we do it seamlessly, and we've been doing it seamlessly for 83 years. So in my opinion, we know this. It's just we have tunnel vision. We're not applying it outside of what our comfort zone, should I say. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in Theology of Time, he said the problem is we don't want to do for self. We are lazy people, he said. And to do for self requires work. Putting up a business and making it successful and growing that business to make it global, that's work. But he said, we're lazy people, and it is that we want to be a slave. We want to subconsciously do that. But we don't do that in the mosque. We don't do that at Savior's Day. We don't do that nowhere near that. We are very aggressive. We're very militant. We're very disciplined. We get stuff done when it's in our comfort zone as a group. That's what it is, being able to get outside of our blinders, our tunnel vision when it comes to that, taking that same energy and focus and already know that we need the necessity for group operations and unity, because ain't none of us securing a mosque by ourselves, can't speak on the front rostrum, be a minister on the rostrum, hold posts, do the check posts, outside posts. You can't do all that by yourself. So you already know you need other people to help you do it, and you don't interfere with them necessarily in their positions of accomplishing what they need to do. Everybody play their role. Same way. But why we don't do that? I really don't have an answer for that one. But we know already is what I'm saying. It's subconscious. We do this already. Sister Z is doing this with her shows and all the hosts that she has on this. She can't do it by herself. See, we already know this. You see what I'm saying? We already know it. Why are we not doing it as a nation? I'm only speaking as a nation. That's you know, I can only go back to the envy and jealousy part. It's like the sister who was on the phone and says too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Whenever you got too many chiefs, that goes back to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. The devil soon see that none wants to follow the other. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a whole bunch of chiefs. See what I mean? And that goes back to root of it is envy and jealousy. We got to get that up out of us. But last point, we already know this, though. Like, we do it every day in the mosque. That's my point. And no one tells you to do that. You automatically know if you've been in a nation, like all of us on this panel been in a nation over 20 years at least, you ain't nobody telling you what you got to do when you're in the mosque. You know how it works. You know when it should work. You know something wrong if you pull up on the mosque and you just walk in and you didn't get checked. That's red flag number one. Ain't nobody got to tell you. You automatically know how this works. But when it comes to business, it's a lot of barriers that we put in our way ourselves. That's my point.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, brother. And I mean, just to, and I agree with you 100%. And from what you just said, what I'm taking from that is the fact that we really need to begin to, we need to grow to understand that the mosque, the building, if I can use these terms, is a microcosm. And the outside world is a macrocosm. So what we're doing in the mosque is simply training us for how we're supposed to be living our life, because we got to get out of this thing of being event Muslims. We got to get out of this thing of, oh, well, I'm in the mosque, and I got my, my headpiece on or my bow tie on, and I'm in uniform, so now I'm going to be disciplined. That same discipline, that same activity needs to translate into my everyday living. And on that point, something that Brother Rich shared earlier, it's right out of the original rules of instructions to the laborers, but it, you also find it in it's problem number 13, which is in the problem book. And what I found, by the way, in my life and in living this life, and it took me, I'll be very honest with you, it's not like because I was born and raised in the nation, but it's not like overnight or even in that period of time growing up and living it, it wasn't until, I'll be very honest, it wasn't until 3 years ago that I finally realized it's called the problem book. If you want some results from it, work the problems. It took me that long to get there. And on that note, but problem number 13 says this. It says, after learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you, talking to me, must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. Now, from my study and from my life, in this life, Dr. Farah Muhammad gave this to us, and you notice he started with luxury. Then he said money. Then he said good home. He put friendship in all walks of life at the end. Now, that God is so wise, he know how backwards we are. If he had said to us friendship in all walks of life first, the majority, and even today, the majority of us will look and say, well, man, I got friends. They ain't worth nothing. They ain't going to do nothing for me. But when you say luxury, because our lives are so materially based, because we don't understand that it is in those friendships, in those intimate relationships that we build the unity in, that is what's going to produce for us the good homes, the money, and the luxury. You know, so, I mean, I'm in 100% agreement with you, but that's dead on. So now, I want to go to you, Brother Rick.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same question
okay.
to you. Straight out of the message to the black man. You know, how do we better, in your view, recognize the necessity for unity and group operation? What we already got?
Well, you know, I'm just going to use some analogies. Minister Louis Farrakhan is a master using analogies to getting a teaching point across, turn a talking point to a teaching point. You know, I don't know how many of you, one of the things I'm involved with is I played basketball in high school, and I played a couple of years in college on a scholarship before I stopped playing, and this even after the military. And the one thing about team sports is I learned, and I've probably been playing basketball 40 years ever since I was third grade, is that when you're on a team, that team is your family. And basketball is the longest, basketball is the second longest sport, but it's the longest sport when you're together with people because it's during the wintertime, especially where I'm at here in the Midwest. But my point is the players that's normally the best on the team is the ones that come early and leave late. They're the ones that go hard with all the drills, for the shooting layups, shooting free throws, playing defense, and they're the ones that get the accolades. Every once in a while, you get a whole team like that. Sometimes you might get one or two players like that. And I'm saying that to say this, as an analogy to tie in what you were talking about. I like Coach Pat Riley, and I remember when he coached the Lakers, and his mentor was the great Jerry West, or better known as the Logo Man, the logo, the NBA logo, that's Jerry West, if you didn't know. And when he went to Miami, he only left New York because he couldn't get the control that he wanted to get. But now New York probably wished they could have kept him. And when he went to Miami, one thing I remember what he said when he was coaching, he said, I'm going to get y'all a championship. But what he saw, he had to build a blueprint. And I remember Dwayne Wade when he first came to Marquette. Here, I seen him play in a closed practice session before he even put on the uniform. But I never saw him being what he is today as a young kid coming out of Chicago. But he had a lot of dedication. And back to the whole team concept, he knew in order to be on the team, he had to go to class, something he hadn't been doing in high school that much. But what they did, they made him assistant coach on the bench. So he had to humble himself and sit there and watch his team play with a clipboard. But what it did, it made him become a student of the game. And that's something in the Nation of Islam that we don't, like I mentioned before, we don't have enough training. And we talk business, but we're not doing business. And then, you know, enough said, you know, LeBron James come down there. But I remember Pat Riley said in an interview over the summer, this summer, he said he envisioned putting this together. So now he's the envy of the basketball world because they're like, wow, how are you able to get these superstars to play together? Because that first year was rough. Because Dwayne Wade said, man, look, this is my showdown. If we don't want, then LeBron there. But they had to come to an agreement. Now, it's like clockwork. What we have to
yes,
do,
sir.
My suggestion is this. Everything is not for everybody. It's a black man here named Besley Martin I used to work for. He owns some black grocery stores here in the Midwest. He got five stores now. And I remember him putting me in the office, and he knows I'm in the Nation of Islam. I used to sell the bean pies. He was buying them from me, selling them in the store. And I remember him telling me once, and this man don't have a college degree. He just got a couple years of school at a tech school. But he got a grocery store chain that's probably worth $20 million, $25 million. You know, and he's in his 80s now. I think he just turned 80. He told me, and this is what he told me. He said, bro, man, he said, I used to go and listen to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad back in the 60s here in Milwaukee on Wright Street. And he said, my wife didn't want to be a part of the Nation. She was, you know, she clung onto her church. But he did take the economic part. And he built a business. Now he has his sons in the business and their children. Now, I just think this is that in every monster study group, we have some business-minded brothers and sisters. You got to find out who they are. Because everybody in the monster is not like-minded for business. Because your core group got to be people that understand marketing, finance, human resources, logistics, accounting, and stuff like that. And then that's the team. You know, maybe it's by mother moss, maybe it's by region or what have not. Because, see, we got to organize ourselves the way the military. Did you know that the military and corporations are structured the same way? Only difference is you don't have captains and majors. You just have VPs and corporate level, whatever. It's the same concept. You know, so we got to go back to study business because isn't that something that the Caucasian said he would never teach us? He didn't teach us economics. When I lived in Chicago, I had a vision. I wanted to get this MBA so bad. And I used to listen to CNBC in the 80s, and I would listen to people like Peter Lynch and John Volger, John Rogers of Area Mutual, Peter Lynch of Fidelity, Magellan. I mean, he's a white guy who took a company worth $240 million, and when he left, it was worth $56 billion. You know, and he was an analyst, portfolio manager. He's a great investor. You can read his book, One Up on Wall Street. You know, I'm just throwing some things out there. But the point is, in order for us to go from where we're at right now, I understand the envy and jealousy and all that. Now we got to start looking at applying the mathematics. And what does it mean when you say down to modern day time? Okay, because we got technology now, like Brother Chan said. We got the internet. I mean, we even got a Galaxy phone and an iPhone that's a computer in your hand. I've seen Caucasians conduct business on the beach in Miami Beach, conduct move products and money sitting drinking margaritas. And we still on the level, like one brother said, selling chicken dinners and driving to Chicago and getting us eight boxes of bean pies. That's not no money. And the other thing, too, in order for us to make the teachings attractive to our people, the mega churches is drawing our people because even though their gains are ill-gotten in most cases, they have the material stuff, and that's what people get attracted. Wow, he got a Bentley, or he got this, he got that. We should have that and more with righteousness, but we got to learn how to apply the righteousness to ourselves. And the last thing I'm going to say, answering your question is, and brother, you say this, we got people in the mosque that's on food stamps. Come on, let's keep it real.
Hey, come on.
We got people in the mosque that were passed by believers and going the same way. And they on the bus going home. Even MGT. Hey. Come on now. So, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said love is freedom, justice, equality, and Islam. Some of us don't even have love of self. So how can we move forward with business if we don't have love of self and love of self and kind? There should not be a believer in the mosque that don't have a nice home, especially in the environment we're in right now. And even then we got to start taking, that's one thing that the United States military do. They take care of their soldiers. They give you clothes to wear. You get paid. You get a couple pair of shoes. You get underwear. You get socks. We should start taking care of every believer in the mosque. Should not have to walk. When a brother come in off the street, That should be a clothing bank of clothes sitting in the mosque of the sisters, brothers. Brother, we got a suit for you. Sister, we got this for you. We got this. We don't even take care of each other. So, we, you know, until we can move to that, then once you get everybody taken care of, then people are looking at us, man, that brother got a sharp suit on. But he don't know if that suit came from Brother Kareem, a suit he probably couldn't wear. But it's a Botany 500. He don't know that. All he sees is a sharp suit. See? So once you take care of the human welfare of the individual, and then people are not worried, you got people worried about paying their bills. Straight up. We got believers losing their homes as we speak on this talk show right now. We do. And then the last thing I'm going to say is this. Brother, the most sickening thing, and I just have to say it, I was at a believers meet, and people talking about where they hiring at. Give me your resume to go on the plantation to get a job. And posting stuff in the mosque. In the mosque, on the wall. So we have almost, some of us have bought back into the 85% of the way, even though we 5% in our nature to teach it. But outside of the mosque, we right with the 85%. And that's all I have to say on that too, bro.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. All right, we have some questions that I'm going to take right now. I'm going to start. Area code 314, your mic is live.
Hi, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I've been listening.
Yes,
this is Brother Robert 11X. I just tuned in, and I listened to a couple of brothers. The last brother I listened to, you put a smile on my face, brother, because you got to keep it so real that the truth agitates the falsehood in our thinking today. See, brother,
yes,
what you said about that last point you made, brother, is so real. When you have leadership that has a career job mentality, you will not make progress. I don't care where you are, brother, throughout the United States of America, London, whatever mosque is operating under that type of leadership will not make good progress. Because if you're not the leader, if the leader is not an independent thinking person, an entrepreneurial thinking person, a person that knows how to take you from A to B without having to go fill out applications and telling the people, or if you don't tell them verbally, you tell them by your actions to go get a job. And when we don't have leadership that's not following what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we're not going to make progress. And this is why, since 1989 up until 2013, I always made this comparison. I said, how is it that one brother can outperform a whole group of men? One brother can outperform a whole group of men. How is that? When all the men are willing to follow that particular leader of that city, your men are willing to follow you. Now, you got some individuals, and I know this is throughout the whole nation of Islam. You, in all these mosques, you got some individuals that come from a street background. Didn't have the college degrees. Like you said, the man that's worth over $25 million in his grocery store didn't have to graduate from college. He got good hustle skills. He has good mathematical skills. He probably didn't even read the problem book or the Supreme Wisdom. Does not mean that he does not have what is in all of us if we tap into it. You see, so you hit it, brother, on the point. I agree. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of talk radio. I'm tired of brothers just talking and running their mouth and want to sound good. I don't listen to none of that stuff no more. You know, my faith in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is real because it changed my life in a real way. But my hustle prior to coming into these teachers was always what it is today, my hustle. So when I came into the teaching with the hustle that I had, I just knew at that point that it was about to really go down. And that's when, as a young, fresh, virgin male to these teachings, that's when I was sadly mistaken, brother. Sadly mistaken. The reality that I had to come into thinking that this body of knowledge and the people that were locally involved in it was going to would just welcome and embrace the whole ideal of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching, do for self. Love self-kind. Love your own kind. Help your brother. Help your sister. When you come with that type of energy into these particular, I don't know about the rest of the buildings, but I do know about the building that is in my city. When you come into that atmosphere with that kind of energy, brother, you become the bad guy. And I witnessed that personally, and I see it happening today. So, Brother Robert 11X, I'm going to say it so you know who it is. Don't go around that no more. Because when I was in the streets, I didn't hang around with brothers that I knew didn't like me. I didn't hang around you. If you didn't like me, fine. I ain't got nothing against you, but if you was going to be a hater, I ain't hanging around you. And I ain't trying to fit in with you if just because you got a little something, a little power, a little clout. I didn't try to do that. So I'm 48 years old now. And sadly, I sadly say this. I can't go around a bunch of haters. I can't go around a bunch of men that say that they want this teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but they're not living it. And then they put every obstacle in the way for the brother that's striving to live it and want to see his brother or want to see his sister off of welfare, not having to worry about where she going to live at. They don't want that to happen, the ones that's in leadership. Now, I can't speak for everybody. I can't speak for anybody else other than myself. This is what I personally witnessed because I done brought to the table, myself personally, have brought to the table real estate. Let's do something with this building, brother. I own this building. I got it free and clear. Let's do something with this, like you said. Let's make this an FOI house, and when all the brothers that come in that need a place to stay, they got a place to stay. Nobody moved on. Nobody really really gives a damn for real, in my opinion. It's just a few brothers like yourself that you just spoke, or the brother that just spoke. You speak like you're actually doing something. That's how you sound. Your energy gives me that feeling, brother. So I pray to Allah that you keep on doing. But in or out of the mosque, keep on doing it. Touch somebody's life in a positive way. Each one teach one. You know how it goes. And brother, I'm so, when I hear a brother speak like that, it fills me with joy to hear that because some of us really do want this. And we're not just playing with it. I have 20 years of not working on that devil's plantation up under my wings. 20 years. And I've been in business all 20 years. I don't have a business open right now, but I own some properties, and I'm all right. I mean, I could do much better. But I'm not going to do what I know that's going to go against the grain of my thinking. And I hate to say that, but it's just how real it is, brother. And I just wanted to share that. I'm not going to hold this line up. But I love my brothers, and I love my sisters, and I love those who love the teachings of Elijah Muhammad and is striving to live that. And those that are just perpetrating and faking and fronting, I can't be around them because something bad might happen. I'm not going to even try to play with myself like that. So I pray to Allah, brother, that you have continued success. And those brothers like you and those sisters like you in your cities, wherever you may be, that you have continued success. And even if you're in the mosque or out of the mosque, I pray to Allah that he bless you for your efforts in trying to liberate the minds of our people. I pray to Allah that he continue to bless you and give you the energy to keep on going, because this thing here is not looking good for the believer. It's not looking good for the man or woman who think that a job, a 9-to-5, is going to carry them, because all that's going to do is slow us down from really building a nation. Those that have the ability, those that have the skills, those that have the money, we're not working together properly. We're hesitating with one another. We're not giving our all. We're not exhausting our efforts. We'll put our effort out. We're not exhausting our efforts with one another. To build America back then was a sacrifice, major, if you really take time to think about traveling from on a horse from St. Louis to California, what the families had to go through. We're not really willing to go through that. We talk nation talk, building a nation, but we don't want to sacrifice nothing. So that's why we don't have nothing. And until we quit running our mouths, we're all good, and actually getting out here and working together and building stuff, we can start with one damn house. And they're cheap enough for all of us to be, if two or three of us came together, we can buy a house. That ain't nothing. $5,000, $6,000, $10,000. That's nothing to do. And then we can put it together and put a believer in it, finance that believer for over 20 years. Yeah, they say as Muslims, we don't charge interest to a Muslim. But, hey, we in business, we'll charge you below market value because we're trying to build a reality. So we'll put you in a house and make sure that house is functional. And then we'll go and do it again. Just keep doing it. But this sacrifice ain't for us to really reap the benefit of it right now. Our people, generations from now, is going to benefit from what we're doing right now. And I'll go to my grave knowing that, hey, I put every inch of my being into trying to make that happen, because I am striving every day, frustrated every day that I own property and I can't get them up and going. Because the black people, it's only 350-some thousand people in St. Louis. So there's a whole lot of people fighting for money, trying to hustle for money. So the dollar is, it's here, but it's hard to get here. So if we don't have each other, we all going to catch hell. And we're catching hell right now as we speak in this little small city, I know for sure. So, brother, you lit me up. I was listening, and I wasn't going to really comment, but you hit every point on the head so real and so near and dear to me. So we say, I'm a reflection of my brother. We say that. Oh, brother, I'm just a reflection of you. We say, I want for my brother what I want for myself. We say that. We say that. It sounds good. But I don't believe it no more. It's just talk. You see your brother, you ain't seen him in 2 years. He was good when he was in the mobs with you. He was your brother. But now, you ain't seen him in 6 months to a year to 2 years, and the brothers don't even call the brother. They only won't check on the brother. Or they'll say some stupid stuff. Well, you know, he ain't out. He don't come out. Or when you gonna come out, brother, as soon as they see you? When you going to come out, bro? Why you ain't been coming out? Man, don't ask me no crazy crap like that. You ain't even called to check on a brother. But you say you my brother. Nah, brother. We got to get real. Get real. Quit playing. Quit thinking. Be real. Because in these streets is real business. In these streets is real life. So let's not keep hide behind a bow tie and a suit. In these streets, the law is real. And this same law is universal. From the streets to the mosque to corporate to church, the same law is universal. We always want to change the game. All we got the perfect set of rules to live by. Let's make these people accountable.
All praise and good to Allah. But Robert, you still there? Okay, I'm going to take another comment or question. Area code 770.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Oh, hey. Assalamu alaikum to everyone in the room.
Wa alaikum salam.
Right, salam.
Yeah, this is Brother Eugenio from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
One of the things I had wanted to touch on, really a brief comment, especially that, you know, boy, it's tough to follow that brother there. He had so much. I was sitting here and I was listening to it, and I felt it as well, and leading up to what Brother Robert was saying. But I think if I could add my testimony to it real brief, is that I think what I learned and still learning in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that our people, our black people, were so broken, so lost, and so confused, and we were so brainwashed that we really needed to have a complete makeover with the mindset. And you have to start with the mind first. And so by starting with the mind, then other things can follow. And so that's what it has definitely done for me, because I was out there, you know, in the community. I had these jobs after jobs, and I was not happy in corporate America. Sure, I was making money, but I noticed I was not happy. And when you get into, I felt I was always in a rut until I was told to seek the messenger. And when I found him on page 109, out there on the message to the black man, that second paragraph, and it didn't hit me then. It said, I am his messenger. And I said, what? Okay, well, this is what I need to be reading. But the thing also that I think I want to touch on with Brother Robert also mentioned is that, yes, when we have individuals who come from a background, a business background, after, well, even doing, when we have new members or when we had just have members, period, in the mosque, it's almost as if it needs to be interwoven with the process. It's like we're building you up, and now we're teaching you how to do for self, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his national representative is stressing. And I think that will push us forward into where we need to be, but it has to start with that mindset. And I know for me, my talent is in art. And ever since I've been, Allah has given me the inspiration, you know, this thought in my mind to do an artist workshop, that's something that, I mean, it just keeps me up day and night. I get online and I research, I contact other artists who are in this community and ask questions and see if they can direct me to the right information I need. I talk to my old professors in college to see what I need to be doing. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
We are, bro.
Oh, okay. The dial tone. And so that's the pad that I'm taking. You know, Elijah Muhammad was saying that, or the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying that we need to study the white man, you know, because he makes no excuses and he is successful. And so there are other artist workshops, just like there are other examples of businesses out in the community that we should just study and use them as models. Chicago has a great model right now for an artist workshop called the Little Black Pearl. And boy, have I been researching that by Monica Halsip. So it just starts like that. First, Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is rebuilding the people from the teachings he received from Master Farad Muhammad. And by building us up, teaching us about self and who we are, that allows us to stand up 90 degrees and walk proudly so that we can now do for self, you know, when we come in contact with others or gain that inspiration, as I have with my artist workshop. So that's my comment, and I'll just continue to listen. And everyone, please have a safe evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Eugenio. All praise is due to Allah. All right. Brother Mikhail, you there?
Yes, sir.
All praise and due to Allah. And we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show. And so I wanted you, before we get off here, I wanted each of the panelists to just share a little bit. What is it? What type of business that you in? What is it that you do? And you can share your information if you will.
Yes, sir. Another chance. Somebody can hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. Well, my business is it's called the EBP Group, and that business is concerned with investing in other businesses of like-minded people, basically. We are an investment, we're an investment group. We're interested in investing in businesses that are trying to provide provide products, services to our community and to the greater community. You know, anything that we can analyze and see how it's going to make a profit and make a return, we're interested in investing in it. We're interested, we have some projects going on with real estate here in the town that I live in called Hagerstown in Maryland. And we have been, we've had some interest in Baltimore properties over the years. But that's basically what we do.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And if someone wanted to contact you, how would they contact you, bro?
You can get in contact with me by calling 443-854-5976. You can also reach me on our Facebook, Chance Hall, or you can reach me by email. It's Hall, H-A-A-L-L. 007@yahoo.com.
Yes, sir.
Pass
thank you, Brother Chance.
Number one more time.
Yes, yes sir. Yeah. All right,
okay.
Here. Brother Chance.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What were you saying?
I was just saying, well, thank you, and it was a very good panel, and I look forward to perhaps, you know, participating in the next one.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. We're not gone yet. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Brother McHale, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And same thing, brother. I mean, tell us about what you do, just a little bit about what you do and how people can contact you.
Yes, sir. Two things real quick. I produce music for television. It's one of the things I do. I have about 600 episodes of music right now, music on episodes and shows that you watch. And also, I'm a simple system. I'm a simple trend system trader. We have a team of traders that are markets, the stock markets, these futures, stocks, ETFs, take those profits that we trade off these companies and things that we consume every day and use that to benefit self, family, and people. People can get in contact with me on Facebook, and also my team of simple traders, headed by Brother Fox. We're having webinars every Saturday after the broadcast at all the little spark time and what must be done to teach people how to work these markets and use the markets, the profits from the markets, to benefit self, family, and their people.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You said they can contact you on Facebook, and you're listed on Facebook. How?
You can contact me on Facebook at Mikael, M-I-K-A-I-L, Tradermatic, Muhammad, or you can call at 602-904-5032.
Thank you, sir.
5072.
Oh, yes, sir. 5072, that is. Yes, sir.
Right.
All right. Oh, praise be to Allah. Brother Rick?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. So if you would let the people know what you do and how they can contact you.
Currently,
yes,
I recently just got my real estate sales license and broker's license last year in 2012. But I've been in real estate over 15 years. And I also worked in investments on the mutual fund side. And currently what I do now, I'm in real estate on the commercial and residential side as far as development. And I also help people as a consultant with marketing plans by use of the internet. So I'm really big on internet e-marketing, that sort of thing. And the company for the real estate is called Muslim Capital Management, MCM. And the business solution side is called New Beginning Business Solutions. And that was a small company I started about almost 2 years ago. And I help people via, if they come up with ideas, I can write a plan for them. I call them winning plans to get investors and to get money. I can be reached on Facebook at Rick Salim Muhammad. Email is new, N-E-W, begin, B-E-G-I-N, the number 4, small u, at gmail. Also can be reached on Twitter at Alim, A-L-I-M, 741930. And also have a number I can be reached at. It's 414-939-5312.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. All praise is due to Allah.
Thank you for having me, brother. And I'm honored. The pleasure is all mine.
All praise is due to Allah. I want to thank all of my family. Queen Aziza, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. I just, except for those few little spurts, you've been quiet tonight, but all praise is due to Allah. You get the line up for the rest of the week?
Yes, sir, but before I do, I would like to extend a big thank you to Brother Chance and Brother Rick and Brother Mikhail for
so
graciously accepting. Brother Mikhail, well, that's an inside joke, y'all. He always teased me about my Texas twang and that I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I just call him Mikhail just to make him happy. But I know his name is Mikhail. I know his name is Mikhail, but I just refuse to say it, Mikhail. But thank you, gentlemen, so very much, and what a wonderful presentation from all of you. I really appreciate you all accepting the invitation. And the rest of this week's lineup will be tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We're going to have a rebroadcast of the History of Islam, Part 2, with Out on the Front Line, with the Food of Islam at 8 p.m. Central. Let's keep Brother Jihad Muhammad in our prayers. He is still in the hospital recovering from surgery. So, inshallah, he'll be back with us live in 2 weeks. And, of course, on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. That's our hip-hop comedy show on Thursday. I will be honored to host Student Minister James Muhammad and Sister Naira Muhammad. She is the 7th Regional Dianetics Coordinator, if I'm not mistitling her. But we're going to talk about understanding the process of Dianetics, and that's 8 p.m. Thursday, Central Time. And on Friday, of course, we'll be back with Student Minister James. We've put on the new man, our live study group. And, of course, he will be discussing the time and what must be done, Part 30. And on Saturday, we are launching a new segment of Young, Gifted, and Black, hosted by two very interesting young men from Tampa, Florida. I think they may be 18 or 20 years of age or something like that. But I'm turning over the host reins to them this Saturday on Young, Gifted, and Black. At 8 p.m. Central. Oh, okay, I can't talk. So join us for that as well. And on Sunday, Economic Development, No Romance Without Finance with Brother Vernon. That's at 6:30 p.m. Central. And, of course, Brother Kareem, we'll be right back here on Monday with you on Conscious Black Nation. Are you going to give us a sneak peek of the topic or we have to wait?
Oh, no, I got it for you. I mean, and pretty much based upon what we've discussed tonight and all the responses we've gotten from the panelists as well as our listening audience to comment, we're going to be doing What's Love Got to Do With It, Part 2.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
So So again, I want to thank all the panelists. I want to thank you again, Queen Aziza. As always, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to share some of what we need. I want to thank the listening audience for their comments and their participation. As always, remember, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or dissipate. This show is called Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. And money is described as something generally accepted as a medium of exchange, a measure of value, or a means of payment. And with that in mind, we are the most valuable asset, and how we relate to one another determines what our value is. I want to leave you as I came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Good night, y'all. One nation, one love.
One love.